Back in the fall of 92, I've been teaching my classes for a week or two, and this one green memo appears to me, explaining this thing they call RPT. Which is the process, you understand, by which decisions are made concerning my retention, promotion, and tenure at the university. Well, man alive, right then I knew I'd best forget the other stuff that I had to do, like teaching. And it seems like it took me one hell of a while, but I finally crammed my entire academic career into one single file. That's the Working Personnel Action File, to be precise, which in my case consisted of two big black binders with white title pages, color-coded dividers for the different sections. Looked mighty spiffy. And in this big old file, you see, I had to brag all about my abilities to teach lots of classes, write two pubs a year, and participate in all them university affairs. So therein I compiled all the evidence that I had met the four criteria for RPT. Them being teaching proficiency, scholarship, preparation, and participation. And I stuffed that file chock full of positive student evaluations, glowing letters of recommendation from esteemed colleagues, lots of original publications in top-flight scholarly journals in my field of expertise, and evidence of my participation in all kinds of university affairs. I didn't mention any names. Well, then my file did make the rounds to deans and committees all over town, and after a while a fancy letter came that said, "Son, we have decided that you shall be retained. For another year anyway. Now don't get too comfy. Don't buy a house just yet." Well, I struggled through into 95, happy just to be alive, when another memo announced a yet greater trial. It said, "Boy, it's time to update your file." For RPT, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. Oh, heck, that's the wrong song. So I pulled out my laptop once again, and I spruced up my file so as to win the praise and approval of all my peers. Heck, that shouldn't be tough after all these years of diligent scholarship, selfless committee work, inspired teaching, and participation in all them university affairs. So I turned in my file once again and let the RPT process work its will, thereby casting my fate into the hands of the powers that be. The first of which was the DRPTC, which is another one of them countless obscure academic acronyms, which stands for Departmental RPT Committee. Well, then I returned to my real job, don't you see, of stamping out geographic illiteracy. When a few weeks later, two more letters came down, and I had to put my teaching aside for another round of RPT. Paperwork. And counter-paperwork. Because the first letter said, "We, the majority of the DRPTC, recommend with regret that due to significant weaknesses on two of the four criteria, the candidate be accorded the terminal year that is his right, after which he shall have no further expectation of appointment." It wasn't a good letter. Well, they claimed that my teaching wasn't up to snuff, my service was weak, I hadn't done enough, and all in all, I just hadn't met the academic standards which had been set by my fellow professors at the university. And they justified this recommendation mainly on the basis of a small number of unsigned and rather negative letters from students, which they had solicited for this very purpose, I suppose, by sending out 200 letters to former students asking them about their opinion of my teaching. And then they placed these letters in my file, which is a procedure not carried out by any other departments on campus and which most of them never had to go through. Even so, it's kind of funny how they just ignored the much larger number of student letters, which was highly complimentary. I guess that's what you call selective interpretation of the data. And in these letters, there were several gripes. Seems I offended people of all colors and stripes. I discriminated against both women and men, and I was just plain too authoritarian. And my colleagues charged that I had made, quote, disparaging remarks about women, feminists, and minorities, end quote. Though they never mentioned any actual instances of that. That I had achieved a imperious tone. And all this time, I thought I was a baritone. And that I had utilized a, quote, extremely authoritarian, top-down pedagogical style, end quote. I guess they wanted me to have the students teach themselves. Well, to decode letters of this kind, sometimes you got to read between them lines. But what they were saying was pretty plain to see. This white boy here just ain't PC. Politically correct, that is. Acceptable to these self-appointed representatives of the neo-pluralistic coalition of downtrodden, oppressed, and sometimes downright pissed off, quote-unquote, minorities, like women, who have achieved some ascendancy at our public institutions of late due to our 30-year national commitment to affirmative discrimination. And these two members of the PC police seem dead set and determined to do unto me as they perceive that members of their identity groups had been done unto. That's sort of our own new twist on the golden rule around here at the university. And these charges they was a leveling against me was all the more interesting considering just who was a doing the charging. As it turns out, the chairperson of my departmental RPT committee comes across as a temperamental, pugnacious, feminist prima donna with a chip on each shoulder and an attitude the size of Texas. And the other author of this letter happens to be a native of Africa who was brought onto our campus by the aforementioned feminist, probably fulfilling another one of them affirmative discrimination quotas which was originally supposed to help disadvantaged Americans. And therefore, these two is good buddies, and they was definitely collaborating partners in this particular caper. So here's this dude from a third world country who was hired preferentially over countless qualified Americans, primarily on account of the color of his skin. And though he had come to our campus a year after me with at least 7 years less teaching and researching experience, he had nevertheless been promoted and tenured 2 years ahead of me, which is record time, whereupon he had been immediately appointed to the position of departmental chair, from which vantage point he was now a sitting there condemning my academic performance. So I reckon that either this guy can walk on water without even getting his toes wet, or else this here modern multi-culture-versity must have tilted the playing field pretty close to vertical so as to put him on the fastest track possible. So there I was, after all these years of jumping hoops, playing the game, busting my butt, doing scientific research for years upon end without any grant money, just for the pure love of contributing to the intellectual progress of our species, I guess. There I was, yours truly, facing an officially sanctioned firing squad comprised of the Rainbow Coalition. And there they was, calling me a sexist and a racist, which was kind of like being called ugly by a frog. So we had come full circle at the university, and the representatives of the official victims group was now having official sanction to victimize a member of the official victimizer group, even while they was claiming it was them who was the real victims. And if you can unravel this brain-twisting logic, you might be able to comprehend the dynamics of sexual and racial harassment in 1990s style, which begins to look like just another power grab, which ain't any more high-minded than any other kind of power grab. And it all goes to show you that these folks can abuse power just as well as anyone, and that if you hate anything long and hard enough, as I suppose they have, well, you're likely to become just what you hated. So here was my colleagues doing their damnedest to extirpate my career, and they was a-saying that day was night and night was day, and right was wrong and wrong was right, and there was nothing I could do about it except write silly little rebuttal letters in which I patiently and rationally tried to set the record straight. It was a thoroughly disgusting and humiliating experience. But as it turns out, the news was not completely bad. The minority letter was kinder by just a tad. She said, give that boy another year before we sock him again with the dread and fear of RPT. Hazing, harassment, and humiliation. But nevertheless, I grasped straight away that in the ensuing weeks and months of letter writing, how was I gonna be struggling to save my very academic neck? I was a treading water in a sea of mendacity, enmity, and perfidy, so to speak, without a life preserver amidst snake-infested waters, and the surf was a-coming up. So though I was feeling frazzled and a bit shook up, I pulled out the old laptop so as to rebut these allegations by my peers that I was just not competent after all these years teaching widely across the curriculum, advancing the frontiers of knowledge in my field of expertise, participating in all them university affairs, etc., etc., ad nauseum. And in this letter I pointed out that my colleagues had overlooked several facts. My teaching avows were above the norm, and when it came to scholarship, why, in the past 5 years alone, I had published over 3 times more than the other 8 members of my department combined. Now this could be the crux of the issue right here. Maybe this is about academic standards after all, with the real problem being I've still got some. Well, maybe this whole PC and racism and sexism bit is just a smokescreen for something else, which could well be related. Like my classes was a little too demanding, or I'd done too dang much genuine research for my colleagues' collective comfort. It's true, I do have a slightly different philosophy of education than some of my colleagues. My idea of empowering students is to actually expect them to learn something about the subject matter I'm supposed to be a teaching. Whereas some of my colleagues' idea of empowering students seems to be to make their courses real friendly and easy and touchy-feely, and then give out high grades like Christmas candy so as to help the students feel real good about themselves, which I must admit is a pedagogical style that can pay big dividends when it comes time to getting evaluated by the students for RPT. And then these professors feel free to indoctrinate their students with their personal philosophies, political agendas, etc. So it seems like there's a conspiracy between the teachers and the students in the RPT, where they all grade high so they all can get tenure and diplomas, and what the heck if nothing gets taught and nothing gets learned, because no one gets hurt and no one gets burned and everybody's happy, don't you see, at the post-academic university. I didn't say any of that stuff in the rebuttal letter, though. You got to be real careful what you put in them letters. The plain truth usually don't go over too well here at the Academy. So as per the advice of some of my friends, I stuck to the facts and was real rational and just slipped this stuff in between the lines, kinda sly and devious-like. Seems I'm learning to conform to the cultural norms here at the Mediocriversity after all. Well, soon two fancy letters appear to me from the provost and the URPTC. That's University RPT Committee. And both these letters did tentatively recommend that my university career should end next year. In other words, they was agreeing with the DRPTC's recommendation. It seems that the facts and the data hadn't carried the day. So right then and there, I figured I'd better get me a brand new strategy. So I consulted the rule book just to see if there had been any illegalities. And there I found just what I sought in Appendix C of the faculty handbook. There, in Section 6C, it states, in no uncertain terms, I quote, only input in written form and signed by the source of the input is admissible. Ha! Right then and there I knew I had 'em. I had caught 'em red-handed in a bald-faced procedural violation. And I knew that whereas faculty may be able to get away with all kinds of fabrications and slanderous statements, if you catch them in a procedural error, why, they're done for. They'd lose this case in court. Upon reflection, I still think it's kind of strange that here I was an untenured faculty and I was having to point out the basic rules of the RPT process to all them deans and provosts and departmental chairs and DRPTC and URPTC committee members who was doing all the RPT judging and who was supposed to be the RPT experts. And I still can't figure out whether they knew about this rule and just didn't care, in which case they is one cynical and nasty bunch of folks, or whether they didn't know about the rule, in which case you'd have to conclude they was just ignorant and incompetent as hell. I reckon it's probably a little of each. So in my rebuttal to them, I pointed out, you got to throw them unsigned letters out. Now my teaching looks even better than before. The percentage of positive letters jumps from 71 to 94, which is an A in the grading scheme of most professors I know. Then I had to take my case in person now to the powers that be and tell them how. I'd been misjudged by my peers and I was really okay, and in truth, I deserved to stay at the Multiversity. So there I was after 6 years of busting my ass, living on starvation wages at graduate school, and then 12 more years of working like a slave as an assistant professor at 3 universities, during which time I had taught 23 different courses, served on umpteen committees, and cranked out 56 publications, including abstracts. There I was with my hat in my hand, pleading my case to a bunch of poker-faced, full-tenured professors who was sitting there acting like God, Supreme Court justices, all rolled into one. Was the most humiliating part of the whole humiliating damn thing. Then another week later, two more letters came saying, boy, you shall be retained. Seems the powers that be had changed their minds and decided to grant me a little more time to improve my record for RPT. Serve on more committees. Improve my teaching evaluations. Well, Well, that brings us up to spring of 96, and I put aside my teaching so as to fix up my personnel file once again in the hopes that I might finally win promotion and tenure at the university. And I was confident that after all the bullshit shenanigans they pulled last year, things was gonna go better this year. I was sure that my peers would be impressed. My recent teaching evals were the highest yet. And I was serving on lots of committees these days, so I'd more than addressed the concerns that were raised by my departmental colleagues in previous RPT reviews. So you can't imagine my surprise when them DRPTC letters arrived, saying this boy is doing pretty well, but don't promote him yet, cause we still can't tell if he's competent enough to be one of us. Well, once again, I could not believe what I was a-seeing. Being as how this was my sixth year, my upper-out year, by saying retain him, my departmental colleagues was actually saying out. Pretty slick and devious. I was beginning to feel like I was in the movie The Terminator, remember that one? And I was the good guy and they was the Terminator. And every time I thought that old Terminator was finally done for, he'd find a way to pick himself up, put himself together again, and try to waste me again. So I'll tell you all right then and there, I gave up on my colleagues ever being fair. I knew these folks I could never please. With friends like this, who needs enemies? You see, it seems some tenured professors have made a nice little cozy nest for themselves at our public institutions. And I guess if anyone comes along and does anything whatsoever to make them look bad or feel bad or upset their personal agendas and power trips and status quos, or isn't PC, or doesn't kiss the right butts, or doesn't play along with their little shams and scams, or any dang thing, well, then they're gonna use whatever means they can, fair or foul, to eradicate that threat. And our corporate education system gives them the power to do that in the RPT process, where the standards are so poorly defined that they can damn you if you do and damn you if you don't, and nobody holds them accountable if they completely ignore the objective data and the rules of the process and make their recommendations based on their own subjective biases. And even then, they can always claim that they was just doing their job. So when I picked myself up off the floor, I pulled out my laptop and as before, I patiently explained in this last rebuttal that my departmental colleagues were a bit befuddled. And they was misrepresenting the facts and bending the rules once again, as seems to be their wont. Then soon as per the RPT calendar dates, the letters arrived that would seal my fate. They said, boy, now that your life's a wreck, we're gonna give you tenure at Turkey Tech. How about that? I guess some rational heads prevailed after all and reversed the recommendation of my departmental colleagues. Kind of too bad, though. By this time, I was actually looking forward to nailing their asses to the wall in court. Well, I suppose a saner man would have left by now and found friendlier fields in which to plow. And I was getting pretty tired of being jerked around, and the nastiness was kind of getting me down. But I had decided to draw the line. I just wasn't gonna let a few miserable, mean-spirited professors intimidate me with their lies and backstabbing and bullshit, cause, hey, that's just part of human nature everywhere, right? And for every college professor like that, why, there's at least two or three kind, decent, generous, honest folks. I think. I hope. Cause if there ain't, then we might just as well nuke this place right now. But it is amazing how sometimes smart people who've been in school all their lives often start acting like complete fools and imbeciles, or else turn into some of the nastiest, most mean-spirited folks around. Henry Kissinger said that academic politics are the most vicious kind of politics because so little is at stake. So when the dust had cleared, I faced my foes and I told them both where they could go. And they ran to their phones with lightning speed and complained to campus security. Even though I had never even raised my voice at them. And this precipitated an official investigation with a policeman in a blue uniform who was a question in all parties concerned regarding the exact verbiage which was exchanged, when and where, etc. And then I got to have a private audience with the vice president and the dean. And then they sent me an unofficial certified letter of reprimand, reprimanding me for behaving in an unprofessional manner, creating a hostile working environment, abusing and harassing my colleagues, and making them feel bad. Talk about your pot calling your kettle black. It seems the absurdity just never lets up here at the Mendasiversity, does it? But from my colleague's point of view, I suppose all's right again with the world now that they can finally reclaim their official status as victims. So I suppose that all in all the process works. My courses are easier now and I've stopped doing research. And at writing them memos I've gotten pretty good, and I'm on my way to becoming dead wood at the university, where you can do unto others like they done unto me. Now when Jesus walked this world so long ago, he was a teacher too, now don't you know? And when the scribes and the Pharisees gave him fits, he called them vipers and hypocrites. The scribes and the Pharisees were the scholars and teachers of the law, perhaps not unlike our modern-day university professors and administrators. Seems human nature hasn't changed much in the last 2,000 years. And I wonder if Christ came back today, would we treat him in a very different way? And if he tried to teach at university, would we crucify him with RPT? But I don't reckon he'd fall for that. He might even perform a few miracles around the university, like bringing some of this here dead wood back to life. So come all you young scholars, so smart and so fine, and seek not your fortune in the swamp of this minefield of backstabbing politics and such. You'd be better off just driving a truck, working for industry, delivering the mail, tending bar, growing vegetables, selling drugs, joining an ashram, anything. Anything. But stay away from that RPT.